Blog Talk Radio.
Israel and what Israel is doing or not doing. And
and it just, you know, just dawned on me. Where are we honoring the Most High in that? We have 6 days to work on ourselves. He says, give me this one day. Keep it holy. And so, you know, we make it about everything but him. So I want to make sure that we are focusing on the Most High in our observance of Sabbath. It's critical that we do that, that we honor him. So let us do this. Let us do our statement of faith. Statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High hand clap of praise today for keeping us safe throughout all this week and for allowing us to have another Shabbat with him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for keeping us safe, Father. Thank you for keeping our minds on you. Thank you for letting us glorify you, Father, and letting us see another Shabbat, Father. This is a Shabbat that we shall not do again. Father, we thank you for keeping us in the land of the living and giving us the opportunity to once again come together and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we just want to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. For truly, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Father. Hallelujah. And we just want to be obedient. So, Father, we thank you today for being our rock, for being our foundation. Hallelujah. Something that someone that we can count on, Father, who knows that the word is true and that you are faithful to it. So, Father, we thank you today for your Shabbat. We thank you, Father, for keeping us safe. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave. We are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would just turn from our wicked ways and repent and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us as a people by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and returning from our wicked ways. And Father, we ask that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel, and our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them, that you might give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us the meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go into the vineyard, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings. Chapter 8. And we're going to get started at verse, where do we want to start today? Let us start chapter 8, verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their father, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, and to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And we want to send a special prayer out to Sister Rhea and her family for the death in the family, I believe, of her sister or Brother Job's sister, I believe. We send condolences to the family. And we pray that Yah give you peace in this time of your distress. Amen. All right. All right. Amen. 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 The book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 18. And we're going to get verses 1 and 2. The book of Psalms, chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. We are talking about Yah, our rock and our foundation. It is He upon whom everything that we do depends upon, and upon who we stand and have our being. And we want to celebrate our Elohim, and we recognize Him as our foundation on this Shabbat. Psalms chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of Yah, who spake unto Yah the words of this song in the day that Yah delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Yah, my strength. Yah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my Elohim and my strength. In whom will I trust? My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon Yah who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemy. Hallelujah. David understood that in all his doing, his underpinning, his foundation had to be the Most High. And this is reflected in his songs. So we today have to surely have the Most High as our rock, our foundation. Upon Him should we stand. Upon Him should we make our stand. And when we face the enemies, our enemies, it's not them that we are, we're not afraid of them in the least bit. But we know that Yah, our Elohim, it is He who will and deliver us and go ahead of us if we keep Him ahead of us. I hope that makes sense. He has to be our head and our foundation, but we need to have Him to go out in front of us. He has always told Israel, stand still and behold the salvation of Him, of the Lord, of Yah. So David, understanding this, writes in Psalm 18 that the Most High is his rock. Standing for. Now, there's a play on words here. Messiah made a play on words, and this Hebrew word rock, or what translates into the English as rock or stone. If you go to a Hebrew to English translator, as you find the right one, and you put in there father, and it'll give you Ab or Abba. But I, and then you put in their son, and it'll give you Ben, like Judah ben Israel, Ben, B-E-N. So when you put those two words together, Ab and Ben, in the Hebrew, guess what word they make? Rock. So when Messiah in the New Testament was telling them upon this rock, shall I build my house? He was really making a play on words of father and son. Upon this rock, father and son, shall I build my house. So the Most High is our rock. But the Most High is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. This thing plays out so many different ways. It's not even, it's just, you know, it has to be divine. Let's continue. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 31. The book of Psalms, chapter 31. And we're going to get more than likely verses 1 through 3. Psalms, chapter 31. Verses 1 through 3. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. In thee, O Yah, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, a house of defense to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Abba, Father, our rock and our fortress. The Most High is supposed to be that tower, that strong tower that we run into when we are in distress, when we are in need, when we are feeling that we are attacked and we can't defend ourselves. He is that strong tower, that fortress who we run to. Who's going to get by him? Nobody and nothing. So when we understand this, we can give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, all the worship, because he is our fortress. Nothing can stand up to him. So when the Most High has your back, when he is your strong tower, and when he is your fortress, when he is your foundation, you don't have no fear of anything. Shouldn't have a fear of anything. And no one, any situation. You just have to ask the Most High, what is it that he's looking for you to do or looking for you to get out of this situation? Now, what I mean by get out of it, I mean by what is he trying to teach you? And remember, even with getting out of it, he says, hey, there is no temptation that comes upon man that I don't make a way out. So if we are under attack, then we know that the Most High has provided a way. All we got to do is look. Don't try to take care of it ourselves, because a lot of times that's what we do. We get in the way. We try to take control of the situation, and we don't let Yah work it out. It's like we feel like we got to work it out. But if he is your fortress, and if you know you've hidden yourself in him, then you just let him work it out. Yeah, you see them over there? See what they're doing? Yes, my child, I see. Don't worry about it. I got you. You just go about doing what I told you to do. Don't worry about them. They're not going to touch you. They're not going to do anything to you. They shall not have any victory over you. And so we have to understand that and believe in that and walk in that. He is our fortress. In whom shall we fear? Not a soul. If we fear in somebody, something wrong, we saying Yah is our fortress and we fear in someone. But he can't protect you against whatever that is. Are we walking in doubt? Let's continue. Go to Psalms chapter 79, the book of Psalms, chapter 79. And we're going to get verses 34 and 35 for right now. Psalms chapter 79. The book of Psalms chapter 79, verses 34 and 35. Oh, that's not right. Did I write down the wrong thing? Let me see here. Yeah, I think I wrote down the wrong psalm. Just a second. Give me a hot second here. Let me see what verse I meant to get. Psalm 78. The book of Psalms, chapter 78, verses 34 and 35. When he slew them, they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after Elohim, and they remembered that Elohim was their rock, and the high Elohim their redeemer. Talking about our people when the Most High was angry with them. and he slew them. But they had to remember that he was their rock and their redeemer. Even when we mess up, that's why I say, you know, I try to encourage people, even if you have messed up, as David said, it is better to fall into the hands of the Most High. Even if you incur his wrath, it's better to fall into his hands. So Israel, when they were doing well and they were growing and getting fat as in the way of prosperity, then they forgot about Elohim. They forgot about the Most High. And then when he would send judgment, then they would remember that Elohim is their rock, that Elohim is their redeemer, their fortress. When we are doing well, maybe it's human nature, I don't know, but when we are doing well, we have a tendency to say, you know, it's the work of our hands. It's all because of us. And then when we're doing bad and we are struggling, then we want to call on Elohim. But the truth of the matter is, he warned Israel and he warns us that when we hit our good times, don't forget about him. When he prospers us, don't forget about him. Always remember that he is our rock and our redeemer. He is our provider. He is our everything, really. And you know, there's another play on I am. When he told Moses to go and tell the children of Israel, I am have sent thee. I am your redeemer. I am your rock. I am your provider. I am your savior. I am whatever you need me to be. And so we have to remember that always, even when we mess up. Don't run to the enemy. Run and get closer to Yah, our rock. Throw yourself at his mercy. Don't say, I have messed up and he won't take me back. You don't know. And it is far better, far, far better to fall into his hands. So Israel had to remember that their Elohim, our Elohim, is our rock, and he is our redeemer. When we fall, when we fall short, it is he that we have to worry about, and it is unto him that we should run, even when we have failed. And perhaps he will show mercy. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 89. The book of Psalms, chapter 89. And let's get verse Psalms 89 and verse 26. Actually, let's start at verse 1 on this one. Let's start at verse 1. Michelle of Ephraim, the Ezraite, I will sing of the mercies of God forever. With my mouth I will make known my faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Yah, thy faithfulness. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto Yah? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto Yah? Elohim is greatly to be feared in the assemblies of the saints, and to be had in reverence for all them that are about him. O Yah, Elohim of hosts, who is strong, who is a strong Yah like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. Thou rulest the raging of the sea when the waves thereof arise. Thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces. As one that is slain, thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, and the earth is also thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitations of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Yah, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted, is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our king. Then thou spakest in a vision to the Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. My holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. In my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the river. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my Elohim, and the rock of my salvation. Also will I make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. And the Most High had a blessing to the reading of his word. So in this psalm, we read, just as I've said already, Yah is our everything. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He's our redeemer. He's the lover of our soul. In whom shall we fear? It is he that strengthens our hands, and it's not we ourselves. It is he that gives wealth and power and glory. He gives it to whom he wants to give it to. It is he that blesses us in our coming in and our going out. Yah, our rock and our redeemer, our savior. In whom shall you trust? Are you trusting in yourself? Or are you trusting in our rock, our foundation? Praise, praise Yah, hallelujah. Let everything that has breath praise Yah. For truly there is who, like this psalm just said, who is like him in the heavens? Who is like him in the earth? There is none like our Elohim. And we have to know and believe that and trust in that. Isaiah chapter 17. The book of Isaiah, chapter 17. Let's get verses 10 and 11. Well, let's get verses 1 through 11. Isaiah chapter 17. The book of Isaiah, chapter 17, starting in verse 1. The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from the city. Let me reread that. Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aurora are forsaken. They shall be for flocks, which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith Yahweh. And in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall lean. See, remember, I've already told you that when we read in a previous song. Israel has a tendency that when we do well, we forget about the Most High. But the Most High is saying right here that the fatness represents doing very well, prospering. So he's saying here, fatness of his flesh shall wax lean. In other words, the Most High is doing a work, and he's causing Israel to grow lean and not fat because of our nature to forget him. So we definitely don't want to forget about our Elohim. We definitely want to wax fat, especially in Yah, and have him to bless us. Verse 5, and it shall be as when the harvestman gathered the corn and reapeth the ears with his arm, and it shall be as he that gathers ears in the valley of Rephaim. Yet gleaning grapes shall be left in it, as the shaking of an olive tree, two or three berries in the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in the outmost fruit, branches thereof, saith Yah Elohim of hosts, or Yah Elohim of Israel. At that day shall a man look at his maker, and his eyes shall have respect for the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look to the altar, the works of his hand, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. In that day shall his strong cities be as a forsaken bough, and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel. And there shall be desolation, because thou hast forgotten the Elohim of thy salvation, and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. Therefore shalt thou plant pleasant plants, and shall set it with strange thrips. In the day, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of the many people which make a noise like the noise of the sea, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like a rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of mighty waters, but Elohim shall rebuke them. Amen. Elohim shall rebuke them. This is, in this reading, our forefathers, you know, going at it again and forgetting that Elohim is their rock. We ourselves want to honor him as being our rock. We have to do that. We can't worship the works of our hands. Like he's saying, hey, they're worshiping the olive trees that they planted, taking credit for the fruit that's coming off of them. They're worshiping the works of their hands in the altars that they're building and not honoring him. Now, I know many of us don't plant our own olive groves, and we don't build altars to the Most High with our hands, but maybe we are doing it in our minds. Because, see, these things start in the mind. So the Most High doesn't like us to worship the work of our hands. And if we're building altars, if we're giving ourselves credit for whatever is good happening in our lives, then we're worshiping the altars and the works of our hands in our minds. Just that it's a different way. And so we don't want to do that. We don't want to put anything above or give credit to anything other than the Most High for our prosperity. Not anyone else. The Most High gets all the glory. Because truly, if it be his desire, no matter what you put your hands to, no matter how hard you worked at it, If he's not in it, it's not going to prosper unless you are worshiping something else. And Satan has the ability to do that as well. So we have to make sure that we are not in the enemy's camp and not realize it. Yah Elohim says we are to give him the credit for everything. That we forget him not when we get fat, when we prosper, when we are doing well. You know, a lot of times we don't do well because we don't honor him. We don't recognize him as our rock. We don't give him what he said is due him. And then we wonder why we're struggling, why we keep having, you know, these battles. But we have to keep him at the very forefront and not worship the idols in our minds, not try to give ourselves credit for whatever we're prospering at. It is all his work. And we are to give him the glory for it. And our forefathers, they were very big. As soon as they were doing well, it was because of what they did. It's because I planted this olive tree at the right time. It's because I built this altar to the Most High that, that truth be known, he's not even looking at. And they are saying, well, all my blessings are coming from here. This altar. But not the Most High. So we have to be very careful in these areas and give the glory to Elohim and Elohim alone. Can't stress that enough. You know, because truth be known, we here in America, as compared to all the other Hebrews around the world, Hebrew Israelites, we're on the top of the stack. And are we giving the Most High the glory for it? I don't think so. The reason why I say I don't think so is because most of us think that we are poor. Think we are poor. But Elohim has said and has blessed us even in this captivity. So we have to understand that we're not poor. We are doing a lot better than all the other Hebrews corporately, but we just don't know it. Yah has blessed us and is blessing us. That's why we don't really want to get up out of here. So he is our rock. He is our redeemer. He is our fortress. In whom shall we trust? In whom shall we fear? We honor him in all that we do. Go to 2 Samuel, the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 22. Second Samuel chapter 22, and let's get verses 1-3. Second Samuel chapter 22, verses 1-3. And David spake unto Yah the words of the song in the day that Yah had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, Yah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Elohim of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. David had a way with words. David had a way with, in a few words, everything that needed to exalt the Most High. Let's read that again. Starting in verse 2. And he said, Yah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the Elohim of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Now, he's saying this, of course, after he's been saved from Saul. Saul wanted to kill him something bad. And every time the Most High delivered him, but David knew how to exalt the Most High and give him his due. And when we look at our enemies, whether it be the bill collector, whether it be whomever it is, you know, your boss at work or a coworker, may even be somebody in your family, you never know. But always remember to count on the Most High Elohim, your shield. Yah, protect me. Holler out his name first. Call on him in everything. Because truly, he needs to be our foundation, our rock, solid ground. You don't get any more solid than the Most High. Can't have a more sturdier foundation. And when you understand that he is your all, and we're just looking at him as being our rock tonight, I just love the way David puts it. So we celebrate you, oh Yah, our rock and our shield, our foundation, our Savior. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Our high tower. How many of us live in violent neighborhoods? I can't say I live in a violent neighborhood. I have to be honest with that. Can't say I never lived in a violent neighborhood. Because as a child coming up, I can remember being 9 or 10. Yeah, 9 or 10 years old, staying in the projects in Birmingham, Alabama. Sun goes down, all you hear is boom, 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 clack, 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 boom, boom, boom. Wake up in the morning, only to find out that some of your friends didn't make it. And I don't know how many of my friends in the project, you know, didn't make it out of teenage years. And I was a violent, yeah, it was just violent. And it was our own people on our own people. But I thank Yah for delivering me and my family out of that, my brothers and my sisters, that he saw fit to deliver us from that violence. Because it was truly, yeah, it was truly violent. And we were probably not given the Most High his glory at the time. So Elohim, that you, now that you've brought this to my remembrance, I give you glory for keeping me safe through those years. Because I had so many friends that didn't make it. Some of young men, even young women, that didn't make it out of their teenage years. And a lot of it was they weren't even involved with it. They just got hit by a stray bullet. Wrong place, wrong time. Even now, as you brought it to my remembrance, I didn't give you glory and honor back then, but I give it to you now. Just as David said, you delivered me from violence. You know, to our people in Chicago, to the people in Detroit, to our people in Washington, D.C., or Houston, or L.A., or any of the larger cities where we have a tendency to be distant. We pray for you right now that all of you who are of a mindset to look for the Most High Elohim, who are looking for a way out of the violence, I pray that Yah unctions you even now, that you would fall on your face, and that you would pray that he keep you safe and that he deliver you from the violence, because we truly are violent upon ourselves. Can't look at anybody else. So Yah, look at your people, Father, on this day. Father, I thank you, and I know we all thank you, for keeping us safe and giving us long years, because there are many of our friends that didn't live past their teens, past their 20s, past their 30s or 40s or 50s. And we thank you, Father, for longevity, for keeping us safe all these years, and for allowing us to still have a mind to come and worship you. And no matter what age we were drawn to you, Father, we thank you for being our rock. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And we thank you for all those that you're going to keep safe in the future. All those that you have preordained are yours. Dispatch your angels even now. For your people are in trouble, and they refuse to cry out to you to protect us. We're looking for everybody else to protect us. We're looking for ourselves to try to protect us, but you are our only protection. You are our only fortress. So I pray right now, Father, that you unction all those that belong to you to run into you, seek shelter in you, our rock and our fortress, our foundation and our shield. For you are truly the only answer for us. Hallelujah. All praises to God. Let us go to in the same book, 2 Samuel chapter 22, drop down to verse 32. Drop down to verse 32. For who is Elohim save Yah? And who is a rock save our Elohim? Let's read that again. For who is Elohim? As when we say save, except Yah. And who is a rock except our Elohim? Elohim is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my hind feet. A hind is like a hound. That means he gives you swiftness, especially in your youth. It setteth me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arm. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness has made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. So David is, again, you just cannot. David was that great songwriter, that great psalmist. He saw the Most High's deliverance in his arm, his hand, in everything that he did. And that's why the Most High said, David is a man after my own heart. David loved the Most High Elohim. There's no doubt about that. You know, and except he got caught up in the flesh with Bathsheba. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what Yah would have done with the nation had David not gotten caught up in his flesh. Nevertheless, David loved the Most High Elohim. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. And Most High says, I don't doubt it either. And you can tell it by David's writing. It just gives the Most High the glory for everything in every situation. And so we have to understand, we have to be of the same mind as David toward Elohim, toward our God. Let's reread some of that again. That was just beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I want to start there. Start in verse 32 again. Elohim is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon the high places. My strength and my power. Into that. Hallelujah. Just step into that every single day. Wake up in the morning. Elohim is my strength and my power. Shouldn't be a day that we can't make it through. Shouldn't be anything comes up that causes, that disturbs us, because we know if we put our faith in the Most High Elohim, if we put our faith in him, again, who shall we fear? Anything that we touch, anything that we do, he's going to make it come out perfect for us, to our benefit. And you ought to be giving him glory and honor even right now, realizing that he's your power and your strength. Stop trying to do it on your own. Step into the Most High Elohim and count 100% on him. Situation looks impossible. And it looks like there's no way that this should turn out in your favor. Watch Elohim work for you. Watch him deliver you out of it and it be in your favor, because you count on him. You believe in him. You walk in the power of his might and in the power of his strength. It don't get no better than this. It really don't. It don't get no better. And see how good it is when you're walking upright before the Most High and you understand just how he's going to represent himself, how he's going to show up for you. That you ain't got no worries, you ain't got no fears, even when it looks impossible. There is nothing too hard for our Elohim. There's nothing too hard for him at all, period. That's why I love David and the way that he writes, and the way that he expresses himself for the Most High. I'm not a wordsmith. I'm not elegant when it comes to writing. But David is elegant. And David expressed his love and his compassion. His passion, not compassion, but passion for the Most High. And I'm sure when David realized that he had sinned, he was looking for the judgment. But Yah said, here goes a man after my own heart. I'm not going to punish him, not directly. I'm going to have mercy on him. because the Most High could see that David truly loved him and that the Most High really was his rock. So you know Bathsheba had to be something else. Especially David already got 3 or 4 wives and you got to have her. She had to be something else. I don't know what something else looked like, but to David, she had to be something else. That to do what he did and to know the Most High and to still go down that path, all I have to say is, good grief, what does this woman have that he just had to have? Because it's clear from his youth that he loved Elohim, that he believed in Elohim. When it came to, you know, wild beasts that could have tore him up, bears and lions, he believed. And Elohim delivered him out of their hands, delivered them into his hands, just like with Goliath. All the armies of Israel are afraid of this one man. And here comes this boy, not even big enough to put on armor. Go out on the battlefield and strike this giant down. Because Yah was with him. So we got to understand that the way David expresses his love and his reliance on the Most High Elohim, the way the Most High wants us to rely on him, to count on him, to believe in him, like David. And then we shall be a man or a woman after Yah's own heart, counting on Yah to be our rock, our foundation, our everything. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we have to take a lesson from David. We really do. We have to take a lesson from him. Let us go to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. I don't know about you, but our Elohim, he's just too good to us. He's been too good to us. And when I think about his goodness, all the time that I really should not be here, I don't know about anybody else, but as a young boy, I was rambunctious. I was out there, but I wasn't doing, you know, any illegal stuff. I was just out there going places I shouldn't go. Not because I shouldn't be there, but because of the time, like in Alabama during the race wars, Jim Crow, being off in white neighborhoods, you know, just being a young boy, but not really paying attention to all that stuff and what could have happened to me. Or when I was running through the mountains in Alabama, in Birmingham, and ran into a Klan meeting, me and my little white friend. And how Yah allowed us to escape. Or when I'm riding my bicycle down this steep hill, and at the end of the hill is a railroad track, and we would hit the hump in the railroad track, and then the road would drop off again, and you would be over traffic. And we were doing this stuff, jumping over cars, moving cars, over traffic, and could have just been killed at any time. But Yah kept, I'm going to say all of us safe at that time. But you get the drift of what I'm saying. And that's only as a boy, and that's not even anywhere near the stuff, because I was just reckless. But Yah kept me. So when I, you know, retroflect back, when I look back, I really do have to say how I got over, because it was Yah himself. And, you know, he will bring all those things back into your remembrance so that you can give him the glory. Because, see, we, you know, I can't say that. I must speak for me. I just used to do stupid stuff. Even when I was in the military, I just do stupid stuff. I shouldn't be here. I'm telling you all now. I should not be here. But, yeah. I should not be here. And so, I want to give him the honor. I want to glorify him because all the years that I didn't, all the years that I didn't give him the glory and the honor for it, didn't give him the praise, didn't even thank him. Too busy being stupid. But then when you get older and you look back, and I, you know, like I said, I don't know about anybody else, but I can speak for me. Elohim had me the whole time. Truly, 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 I should not be here. So I know that is him. And he's shown me and told me anyway before, made me confess a lot of stuff before he even filled me with the Ruach. I had to go back and repent and give him glory for a lot of things. And now he's still bringing things back up to me that I guess he didn't hold me accountable for because he didn't make me repent for them. Think about myself and the things I used to do and how he kept me safe. Driving in Germany, the Autobahn there, the highway there is doesn't have a speed limit. And they have cars that will go 300 plus miles an hour. And if you're whatever speed your car could go, you had to be in the right lane and go that speed. And I remember leaving the base and turning onto the freeway, or what they call the Autobahn, and hit some ice. And the car just went sideways into the Autobahn, you know, broadside, and anything could have been coming. Anything, truck, car, it wouldn't have mattered because 100 plus miles an hour, 200 plus miles an hour. I mean, I slid all the way over to the far left lane, which is the, you know, unlimited lane. Anything would have hit me, I'd have just been pieces. And nothing touched me because I'm here. That's evident. But nothing touched me, and I could just look down the Autobahn, and there was nothing coming, which is unusual. And I just had to thank the Most High Elohim. I had to thank him because, as I said, I should not be here. All the stupid things that I've done, you know, just was my nature. But yeah, so understand that you should be giving him glory if you're still here, because I'm sure each and every one of us has our story. We have our story, and it is only by his goodness and his mercy and his grace are we here. And you have to know that you were chosen. And if you know that Yah has chosen you, how can you not give him your all? Because I could probably say, not just me, but each and every one of us probably got a similar testimony, at least one. I have many. Trust me, I have many. I could talk for some hours now just on my foolishness and how I should not be here. But yeah, my rock, my salvation, my strength, my strong tower, my fortress, my redeemer, my salvation, my everything, because I should not be here. Had a brand new bicycle going through the backwoods. Walk up on this guy. He's coming the other way. He pulls out a big old 38. Wants my bicycle. Nobody's around. Just me and him. He could have shot me then. Nobody would have known for probably days or weeks. Well, probably they at least said late in that evening because they would have expected me home. But they probably wouldn't have found me for days or weeks. I wouldn't even know where I was at. But yeah. How many people have been killed in same circumstances? Because a person was fearing that, you know, you're going to tell on them or be able to identify them. So I know for a fact I shouldn't be here. But yeah, is the only reason that I'm here. So many other stories. And, you know, I look back on my life. And I said, the Most High didn't make me repent for these things. There were some things he made me repent for. Oh, no, you're going to give me the credit for that. And you're going to apologize for that. There were some things. These things that I'm saying now, I have forgotten all about these things. And he is allowing me to remember and give him the glory. And to thank him for keeping me safe. Because the truth of the matter is, I shouldn't be here. Not once, not twice, but many times over. I just should not be here. So I know that Yah has me. I know that he's always had me. And it's been my rock. And even when I wanted to do dirt, he would only let me go so far. And I realized that. I realized that to do really wrong, no, he wouldn't let me. He would only let me go so far. I will always be that voice say, you can't do that. Like I said, I was into a lot of stuff, and I was doing a lot of things. And when it came down to illegal or anything like that, if it came across my mind to do it, it would always say, I would always hear this voice, no, you can't do that. And I would listen. So I know that he's always been there, that voice in my ear, keeping me safe, letting me get punished when I needed to get punished. You need to learn a lesson from this. But at the same time, not letting anything happen to me. I mean, if I really told you guys the story, you'd be like, good grief, what did he see in you? And I can't tell you what Yah saw in me. But he has saved me out of so many things that it boggles my mind. So when I'm reading David, and I'm reading how David is expressing how Yah takes care of him, how he sees him through his peaks and his valleys, how Yah is his all, and then I look back on my life and I have to say, but Yah. And then to think that I was, you know, and did not give him the glory and the honor, did not recognize who it was that was involved. I mean, when I say that, I did and I didn't. You know how we are when you're young. You just don't give the Most High his due. But when you get old and you look back on your life, how you were on the street and somebody got hit or somebody got shot or there was an accident and somebody died and you were just a couple of seconds too early or too late. Could have been you. I'm telling you, as Yah is my witness, I should not be here. Because even as I'm sitting here now, I'm thinking of more things that just, you know, me and my foolishness. And one second later, I would just be an obituary. Many, 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 many times. More than I, you know, one time is more than I deserve. But as many times as Yah has saved me, literally saved me from death, physical death, I cannot thank him enough. I cannot glorify him enough. I cannot lift him up enough. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's even more so now, as he's let me remember this stuff. I'd not be here, y'all. I really should not be here. But yeah, truthfully, but Most High Elohim. And I just have to glorify him and thank him and lift him up because the only reason I can still be here is because he still got something for me to do. And that is the truth. So he is my rock. I cannot count on anything but him, not even myself. My faith has to be 100% in him. And whatever I do and put my hands to, he has to get the glory. Thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, God. Matthew. I don't remember if I read this now. Good grief. The book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 17 through 19. Now, I know we haven't read this. And Simon Peter answered and said, let's go back up a couple of verses, get context. Let's start in verse 13. When Yeshua came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. And others say Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He says unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living Elohim. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. All right, amen. So this is that verse I told you that Messiah really was making a play on words. He says, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, he wasn't really calling Peter that rock. Even though Peter was going to be a foundation a foundation stone, the church in the body. But that rock was, he was speaking to him in Aramaic, and that rock represented Father and Son. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but the Father in heaven. But as I said, when you put Father and Son together in the Hebrew or the Aramaic, they make the word rock. That was the foundation that he was going to build his church on, Father and Son. And so we got to understand that Father and Son, that rock, that foundation, this is the same rock and foundation that we've been reading about all along. I'm going to do this work. And in Torah, you knew me as Father. In New Testament, you know me as Son. But upon the work of both of these two positions, I'm building everything. Everything is designed for this. I am a spiritual being, and I desire, and I made physical beings, and I desire to experience you in the physical. So I came in the form of a man, but not just to come as a man. I came in the form of a man that I might pay the price for you that you're unable to pay for yourself. I came born not of a man. I took the man out of the picture, placed myself into the body of a woman who was of the seed of David and came into the world to make a way where there was no way, to be that rock for you still. I am the first. I am the foundation, and I am the last. I am that rock. Upon this rock shall I build my church, Father and Son. That's why when he says in Isaiah, who shall believe our report? The prophets talking about themselves, but it's not. That's the Father talking about Father and Son, the works that he was going to do. So when Messiah says all through the book, do you believe I am who I say that I am? Because that was the thing most people didn't believe. We don't believe you are the Messiah. We don't believe that you are the Son of Elohim, because they understood. This is why they crucified him. Not for what he had done, but for who he said he was. You, being a man, make it yourself. They didn't say the Son of Elohim. That's not what the Pharisees accused him of. You, being a man, make it yourself Elohim. They knew who Christ was supposed to be. They knew who it was that was supposed to come. But they believe it was him. For good work, own you not. We're not stoning you. We're not killing you for the good works you've done. We're killing you for who you said that you are. You being a man, make it yourself Elohim. Not the Son of Elohim. They knew exactly. And it's somehow we today think there's two or three. But our rock in Torah is our rock in the New Testament. And he says, now, I was your rock as your creator. I've told you the whole time I'm your savior. I'm your redeemer. When I come in the flesh and tell you, I want you to know me as the Son of God. But you know what the scriptures say, who's coming? That was the whole thing. And the more that I read these scriptures, the more I understand that they knew. They knew who Messiah was supposed to be. They knew Elohim was supposed to come into the world. And why they didn't believe that Yeshua HaMashiach was the rock that was supposed to come into the world? I can't tell you. But that's why they killed him. You being a man, make it yourself Elohim. So he understood clearly who he was claiming to be. But somehow today, we can't see it. We can't hear it. We got to make two Elohim, three Elohims if you're coming from the Trinity side. Our rock came in the flesh. And so now I'm going to lay down my life for you, that you might be able to come back to me. Think about that. Come back to me. Have a relationship with me, your rock, your redeemer, your fortress, your foundation, your salvation, your creator. Because when I look down through history, I don't find anybody else that qualifies. So I got to come myself. That's how much our rock loved us and still loves us. That's how come he don't take nicely to when we willfully sin after we have come into the knowledge of truth. When we just sin and we know it's wrong, but we don't do it anyway. They knew who he was. And their confession convicted them. They were not innocent. Got us cast out of the country. Got us sent into slavery because they knew and weren't innocent. They weren't ignorant. Their words themselves tell on them. You being a man, maketh yourself Elohim, maketh yourself God. So they knew. I just want to thank Elohim for loving us so much that even when we didn't love him, when our forefathers didn't love him, he still came and paid the price that had to be paid for us to go back to him, to be able to even get back to him. And it's not something that we as his children should take lightly at all, not one little bit. Our rock, our Elohim, our Redeemer, our Creator, put on flesh and came into the world. He said, you can't pay the price for yourself. You are tainted. You can't do what needs to be done, so I'll do it for you. He says, now don't look at that and take it for granted. Don't be like Esau and take for granted your birthright. Esteem it. Esteem what your rock did. Hold that in high honor. Understand that had he not done it, each and every one of us would be bound for the lake, point blank, without hope. Without hope in this world. This world is wicked. You never know. Tornado come down and just wipe out your street. You gone. You go into your car, lightning strike. Boom! It hits you. Some little knucklehead gangbanger running after one of his friends for stealing $10 worth of drugs, and he shoots at him and shoots you. I mean, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. And while you can, you ought to be giving the Most High all the glory, the honor, and the praise that you can. Because tomorrow you may not be here to praise him. You may not be here to worship him. You may not be here to lift him up. You may not be here to be able to ask him for forgiveness or to thank him for his mercy or his grace. Every single day that you have is a day that he has shown mercy, because none of us are truly deserving of it. We all should be dead. And every day he shows his mercy and his kindness and his love. So I truly, I'm a witness. I should not be here. And so I want to thank you, give you glory, give you honor, Most High, Elohim, for making a way where there was no way. Filthy rag. Disobedient. Not worthy in the least sense of the word. And you reach down and you save me. My rock. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Isaiah chapter 28. The book of Isaiah chapter 28. Whom do you say Messiah is? The book of Isaiah chapter 28. And let us get verses 3 what else we want to glean out of here. Start in verse 14. Verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of Yah, you scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Thus saith Yah Elohim, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hell shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding places. So our forefathers, this is really a prophecy about how we, his people, his priesthood, how he would speak to us through stammering lips, how we would speak and teach line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. How we would come to count on him and know him. Let's go to verse 11. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear, that the word of Yah was unto them precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, hear a little, and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore hear the word of Yah, you scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. The word came to them line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. All these lessons, here a lesson, there a lesson. Here a little, there a little. And they still did not learn to count on their rock, their redeemer. The lover of their soul. I want us to hear what the line upon line and the precept upon precept was meant to do. So see, we hear people quote these verses, but they don't never quote this last part of this verse. Just read it. 13 again. But the word of Yah was unto them precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line, and line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and go forward. No. That they might go and fall backwards and be taken in a snare. Because Yah knew it was not in their heart to allow him to be their rock. This word, this law, these precepts, they come to convict. They come to show you and I our nature, how out of line with the Most High we are. How out of line are we with the rock of our faith? Line upon line. You out of line here. You out of line there. Precept. A precept is an expected understanding. So when we teach precept, we are teaching how the Most High expects us to understand him, to understand the law, to understand his ways. That's the precept, to understand about him. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Understand this about me this way. Understand that about me this way. That's what a precept is supposed to do. And so there are certain ways that the Most High wants us to look at him. That's a precept. This is how I want you to see me. I want you to tremble at my words. That's a precept all by itself. I want you to fear me. I want you to love me. I want you to understand that I am your foundation. I am your rock. I'm your strong tower. These are precepts. The way the Most High wants us to see him, to understand him. It's not just a lesson, but it's supposed to teach you how the Most High, the precept is supposed to teach you how the Most High wants you to see him. That's what the precept is supposed to do. And so he said, the precepts were given, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. But it was to cause them to fall backwards. This was not meant for our forefathers' good. Anybody ever tell you that? Probably not. Because, see, you got to be looking through the eyes of the Most High. You got to be understanding it the way he wants it understood, or seeing it through his eyes, the way he wants it seen, to understand this is not a good thing. Because he knew we wouldn't accept it. He knew we wouldn't do it. But it doesn't change. This is how I want you to see me, and why won't you see me this way? And why won't you feel about me this way? That's what the precept is supposed to bring. And somehow, even those who say that they're bringing precept don't understand what they're bringing. But Yah wants us to glorify him. How he wants us to see him, not how we want to see him. And he wants us to see him as our rock. our foundation, our reason for being here, the only reason we are here, that we might come into right relationship with him, that we might have the understanding of David and get the mind and the heart of David toward the Most High Elohim. What time we got? Let's do one more. I got more, but we'll do one more. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 4. And our reference verses here are going to be 11 and 12. So we're going to read from 1 through 12. So we have context. The book of Acts, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Yeshua the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening time, or evening tide, that changing in the evening. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and their elders and their scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, they healed the man who was crippled, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom Elohim raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they had were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, they were amazed, and they looked, and they took the knowledge of them that they had been with Yeshua. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it be that is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of Elohim to listen unto you more than unto Elohim, judge you. But we cannot but speak the things which have been seen, which we have seen and heard. But we got to understand that in the early days of the church, after they have killed Messiah, threatening everybody who's talking in his name, who's doing miracles in his name. And we see in verse 13, they perceived that they, these disciples of Messiah, were unlearned and ignorant men. They didn't go to school. They didn't go to seminary school. They didn't go to college. They have been taught directly by a Messiah. the chief cornerstone that they themselves rejected. If you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, you don't need to go to cemetery school. The only thing you're doing is preaching people into their grave. Not giving them the real gospel of the kingdom. Not giving them the real message of salvation. Not teaching them how to live and keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High Elohim. All you need is the Holy Spirit. None of the prophets went to school. Isaiah, Ezekiel. Well, I can't say they went to school. They didn't go to seminary school. They weren't part of the priesthood. They spoke as the Spirit of the Most High gave them unction to speak. After the Most High filled them with the Ruach HaKodesh, with his Spirit, he'd always go say, go tell them, Son of Man, and they would go talk as if they were the Most High. We got to understand that we need our rock. We need Messiah. We need the Most High in flesh. We need to recognize that work, understand what it stood for, step into it, and live through it by faith. I was in a room last weekend. I try to go and testify or ask me to, you know, bring a word. And it's this old elder. I'm not going to mention his name. But he said, you know, I heard you claim that the Most High speaks to you. And then he went about trying to discredit it and trying to make fun of it. I said, and you being a leader in Israel, a holy man, and the Most High don't speak to you? What are you really saying? How can you be anybody in the body of the Messiah and he don't speak to you? Then by what spirit does the scripture say holy men as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, our rock and spirit? As they were inspired by him, fake. So if the Most High is not speaking to you and all you're doing is reading and coming to an understanding through your own mind, what does that really say? And I just left it there. Because I don't understand how somebody can call themselves a man of the Most High, a teacher, and Elohim don't talk to them. He still talks to us today. I mean, I'm a firsthand witness. I'm going to tell you, he still does. And he will come to you in the night, our rock. And he will give you visions, and he will give you dreams, and he will tell you things. And he will answer your questions too. Every question I've had concerning scripture where I thought somebody may have tripped me up or I missed something, but I knew what I had read, and I would have to take it back to the Most High. Most High, please show me what you showed me before and how this works together, because I'm confounded right here because of this person right here. And this is what they're trying to present, and this is what they're saying. And it sounds good, but I know that it's not true. And then he would show me the verses, put them in my mind, and how I was to look at them, and through what precept I was to look at them, what lens to put the naysayers away. So we need our rock. We need to understand, and I don't care if people perceive me to be unlearned or ignorant. It is through the foolishness of preaching that the Most High confounds the wise. I don't consider myself a preacher, but even through the foolishness of teaching, that he confounds the wise, those that feel like they know it all. But if we do not have a relationship, if our rock is not talking to us, then truly we are in trouble. And we have the blind leading the blind. Let's bow our heads. Yah Elohim, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Elohim of our forefathers, the creator of the universe, the creator of Israel. My Elohim, my Redeemer. Father, we come before you and we honor you for all that you've done for us, for keeping us all these many years, even when we didn't recognize, didn't give you the glory and the honor and the praise for doing it, and for keeping us all these years and letting us walk in your presence. Father, speak to your people. Come to us in the midnight. Wake up. Make us get on our knees knowing that it is you that is waking us up. Speak to us, confirm in your people that we are your people. Let us not be afraid and worry about what people might think of us, what they might say about us. You are our rock. It is upon you that we stand. And even if people think that we are unlearned and ignorant, holier than thou, whatever they might say, Father, we stand in you and we stand upon you. Give us your words for today. Give us your vision, so that we might know your mood. Talk to us. Tell us what to do, where to go, who to speak to. Give us boldness. We need you. We glorify you and we honor you this day, as every day. But you have set apart this day that we should focus on you. Our God, our Elohim, our head. It is you that we want to hear from. It is you that we want to obey. Hallelujah.
Bow down on my knees, all praise to you. I get so excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high to worship you. My need, all praise. Up high to worship you, my knees. I vow to be humble. Yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation. Only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I raise, I raise to worship you. Bow down. All praise to you, up high, to worship you, yeah. I need you, I need you, yeah, I need you. Yeah, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. I need you. Oh, I need you. I really need you.
Brother Isaiah coming in the morning with Overly Righteous on the Sabbath, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Brother Isaiah, Overly Righteous on the Sabbath. on tomorrow evening. We will close out the Shabbat. We will probably have something to do with us as a people. Y'all will let me know. I don't know what it'll be yet right now. We have the new moon service coming up on the 10th next week. I pray everybody get ready for that. And then the 22nd of the month, this month, is also the Pentecost, Citizenship Day. And so we want to also prepare for that. That being said, we send out prayers to anyone and everyone that needs them. We pray that Yah supplies their needs, whether it be for peace in the family, whether it be joy, whether it be consolation. We pray that Yah gives it to them, that he meets them where they are at. Now, as we prepare to go our separate places, I pray that Yah encamps his angels around, that they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, and that he brings us back again at the appointed time. And remember, I love you, but Yah loves you more. And shalom, family.
Without you, there's no need.